That was the Decemberists doing a track from their new EP. It's called Long Live the King, and we heard Sonnet. This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO, where support comes from listeners like you and DaytonMostMetro.com, an online magazine for the Dayton region, connecting you with things to see, do, and get involved with in the Miami Valley, including arts and theater, local dining, active living, local music, and more. Online at DaytonMostMetro.com. I am Juliet Fromholt, and we are very excited to have our guests for this evening on the show. They have a brand new EP that's called Take Control, and we're going to be debuting some tracks from that here on the air. In fact, before we talk with them, let's take a listen to one of them right now. This is Good English doing Hollow Sound off of their new EP, Take Control, and we'll be back to talk with the band right after this on Kaleidoscope.
It started out like this. It was the power of a kid that led me to this state of mind. I followed you away. You said that you would never stay, that your mind is racing towards the end of day. It's your dream life.
Tunes from Good English. That was called Hollow Sound, and you can find that on their new EP. It's called Take Control. It's my pleasure to welcome the band into the studio. We've got Elizabeth Rasmussen, Annie Bartlett, Celia Rasmussen, and Leslie Rasmussen. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Hi.
Very happy to have you all in the studio. And you know, I've been hearing about you guys a lot from Mick Montgomery at Canal Street Tavern. He's been, you know, saying, we've got some young talent. They're doing really well. Why don't you start off, for people who are unfamiliar with you, tell me how you all began playing together.
Well, we, three of us are sisters, and we all just kind of started with our own respective instruments. We got a piano, I think, when I was like 5 years old. Our grandmother bought a piano, so we all kind of messed around the piano. Our dad would teach us little things. And then up until then, it was just piano. And then I started playing guitar in eighth grade and just kind of kept hacking around with it, learning little songs, learning my chords and stuff. And then...
And our cousins actually play instruments, too. So I remember one, like, holiday or something, we were playing around on their instruments. So I was on my cousin Kyle's drums, and I was like, oh, drums are pretty cool. So started thinking about taking drum lessons, and so she was playing guitar, and that's how I started.
Yeah, and then when we had the guitar player, the drums, I was like, I mean, I played cello and orchestra, and so the bass guitar was a pretty easy transition, and there we had our three-person band.
Well, in the Bartlett household, because that's all the Rassy sins, a lot of my sisters and I played piano for a while, and then in fourth grade, I started guitar, and it just kept with that for a while, and lo and behold, met the Rasmussens.
Yeah, and everyone was like, oh, you guys have a family band, why don't you play together? So we're like, okay, we'll try playing together, but seeing as though we were sisters, it was very difficult to get us to all sit down and really work on a song because, you know, one of us would be like, hey, try this, and then they would just get mad because it's like, well, I want to do it my way, you know? So yeah. We actually found out about a little band camp that was going on at Howard Music where we were all taking our lessons. And so we were like, let's try that. You know, we'll play with some other kids, but we'll still all be playing together. It'll be a great way for us to learn how to play together. And so we did that for, I think they were in little, like, eight-week sessions. We did, like, two of those. And then we're like, well, we kind of want to branch out, do our own thing. So we invited Annie to join our band, and that's how we kind of formed. We formed 3 years ago in October.
Wow, so. And have been playing together ever since.
Yeah.
Have you figured out the songwriting thing? What's your process for writing songs now with the four of you?
It usually starts out with me and an acoustic guitar. I'm just usually sitting somewhere in my house, and I'll just figure out a few chords, maybe like a little riff, and then I'll take it to them at band practice and be like, hey, you guys, you know, have this, I don't know, these chords. I have a basic melody, usually never have lyrics. And so we'll just kind of sit at band practice and everyone figures out their parts. And there's a lot of collaboration, like, hey, Leslie, why don't you try this, you know, yeah, these drums, this bass or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it usually ends up happening really fast, like mm-hmm. in one sitting, but the lyrics come a lot later, usually.
Yeah.
I always like to ask that question, whether the music comes first or the lyrics come first.
Definitely music.
Definitely music for you guys.
Definitely music.
Well, it sounds like, you know, you all started out playing music pretty young. Was rock and roll always something that was you were aware of, that you were listening to from a very early age, or was that something you all found as you got a little older?
I think for the most part, yeah, we were listening to our whole lives. I mean, our parents would always play R.E.M., Talking Heads.
Yeah.
What about you, Annie?
I mean, my dad liked Jimmy Buffett a lot, so I heard that a lot. But I mostly heard a lot of music from, like, my sister, which she just listened to the radio, so it was, like, kind of poppy stuff. And in fifth grade, I got my first iPod, and then I started getting my own music, and that's kind of how I got into
it. Yeah, actually, one of the Rasmussen sisters' big influences was Green Day.
Oh, okay.
We got introduced to them, I don't know, I guess I was in eighth grade, so six, seven years ago.
Fourth grade.
And we just were, like, obsessed with them, and that's really what got us into playing our own instruments, and I guess the rock all kind of started there.
Yeah, but definitely. So.
Having siblings and bandmates of different ages, does that make it easier or harder when you're planning gigs and, you know, thinking about recording and touring and all that fun stuff?
Definitely harder when it comes to gigs, especially because for a while none of us were 18, and so many of the venues around town are 18 and up, or you have to have a parent come. You know, a lot of parents are like, I don't want to go down and listen to some little girl band, you know.
Yeah.
And so now that we're getting older, it's been a lot easier. You know, a lot of my friends are over 18. Annie just turned 18, so more of Cillian and Annie's friends are able to come. But a lot of Leslie's friends are, you know, they're only sophomores in high school, so they either have to get their parents to come or they really can't come.
It's a lot harder to bring out my friends, but
but we make it work for sure.
Yeah.
Have you, in keeping that in mind, have you tried to play like a mixture of all ages venues and, you know, regular bars and music venues like downtown?
Yeah, we've definitely tried. One place that we really love to play at because anyone could come was C Space when it was around. Our mom actually kind of founded it. And so we were always able to play there, and it was great because usually the events we played were arts and music shows. So you could come in and there was like bands playing, art on the walls, just a bunch of stuff going on. So that was always a fun event. But I think our biggest issue with kind of branching out to different venues has been that we haven't had anything to show anyone recordings wise, really, because we just recorded all this stuff. So now that we have an EP in hand, it's going to be a lot easier to go to the different venues and be like, hey, this is us. Listen to us. Can we play here? Do you like us? You know, do we fit your style? So hopefully in the near future, we'll be playing a lot more places.
Well, that's the perfect segue. Tell me about this EP. Tell me about the recording process.
It was really fun.
Yeah. It was really fun. It was a great, great experience. We went down to Nashville. We recorded with Patrick Himes of Real Love Recording Studios. And we just went down there for a long weekend. We recorded on Friday and Saturday, like 10-hour days. And just the first day, we nailed down all the basic tracks, all the instrument tracks. And then the next day, we did pretty much all vocals. But I don't know how they feel.
Redubs the second day, too.
Yeah, but
it was
hard work.
Yeah, like, it was tiring, definitely. Drumming for like 8 hours straight gets pretty tiring, but it was really cool. It was fun, so.
Yeah, I think we were a little naive going in. We're like, oh, we'll just record this stuff. It'll be great. But by the end of the day, we were exhausted. Yeah. And the whole next week, I was like, I am still recovering from that. But I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. Like, it's so much fun, so.
I think the funnest part was when everyone got really, like, stir-crazy, just, like, sitting around. I know. Weird stuff started happening. Like, we'd be like, ah!
Yeah, definitely.
Did you find that going into the studio and through the process of recording your songs, did they maybe change from the way you had originally conceptualized them or been playing them once you got in and had another set of ears working with them?
Oh, well, yeah. Definitely. Well, before I went down there, we actually did some scratch recordings in Dayton with a guy, Tom Rasticus. And so that was really great because we hadn't heard our songs played back to us before. You know, we'd been playing them live. We'd gotten feedback from people, but we had not actually heard the sound. So we went in there with the intention to record them the way they sound when we played them live. And so we were able to listen back for about, we think we did this like a 2 or 3 weeks before we actually went down to Nashville. Yeah. And so it was really great because we were like, okay, this is what it sounds like. Which direction do we want to take it, you know? And then, I mean, we had a few basic ideas, but when we got down to Nashville, Patrick really helped us with, like, let's try some different vocals. Let's try some just different sounds with things. He had a lot of great ideas that really helped us. So I think the songs just kind of developed when we were down in Nashville into what they are, but
I think they definitely enhance too, like with all the different sound effects, and it just sounds so much fuller hearing it now. And like, yeah, it sounds definitely so cool. Yeah, it just gets exciting.
Technology.
Was it scary the first time you guys heard your music played back to you? I would imagine that can be a pretty intimidating experience.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah, I think it's more like annoying.
Yeah.
Like, is that really what I sound like? Especially vocals.
Especially the voice.
Yeah.
But it was really cool, though, because it was just something we hadn't experienced, and it was nice to hear ourselves for once.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we go any further, shall we let people take another listen to one of these tracks from the EP?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty. This is another track from Good English's new EP. It's called Take Control, and this one's called Moves Real Slow. We'll be back to talk more with the band after this on Kaleidoscope.
We'll be right back.
brand new tunes from Good English, their new EP. It's called Take Control. We heard the title track right there. Before that, we heard a song called Moves Real Slow. I'm Juliet Frumholt, and I am joined once again in the studio by the ladies of Good English. Welcome.
Thank you.
Very glad to have you all here. Now, I wanted to ask you, you have on your Facebook page in your about, it just says, "We're chicks." And when I had Jasper the Colossal here, we also talked about the whole idea of being a girl band. Do you guys feel like you identify with being, you know, a girl band? Is that important to be identified as that, or are you just a band that happens to be made up of girls?
I think we're definitely just a band that happens to be made up of girls. I mean, occasionally we do use the whole idea that, oh, we're a girl band. You know, it does kind of spur interest in people. They're like, oh, you're a girl band?
All
like,
girls? What?
Well, what kind of music do you play? And we're like, well, we play, you know, indie rock music. They're like, oh, okay. But, you know, we don't really talk it up that much. It's just, I mean, it's really three sisters and a friend is what it is. So.
Which is equally as interesting.
I hope so.
Well, tell me about shows. Do you guys have anything coming up?
We've been trying to pick a date for a CD release party that we're hoping to do at Canal Street Tavern. It's kind of like our home base venue, so we figured we must do it there. So I actually talked with Mick Montgomery earlier today, and we set a tentative date for January 20th, but they're just so booked there that it's been kind of hard to find the perfect time. So if not that date, definitely around that time. We're also playing Dayton Does Dayton. We're not sure which date yet. We haven't been told. It's either February 3rd or 4th. So we're really looking forward to that, getting to play with a ton of different bands from Dayton. I think it's going to be really fun. So,
have you guys picked who you're going to cover yet?
We have. We are playing Cannonball by the Breeders.
Nice.
Kind of using the girl band theme again. And then we're playing actually two Southeast Engine songs. We're playing Holy Ghost and Quit While You're Ahead. They're from Oakwood, and so we were like, they've been a huge influence on us, actually, too, just seeing them. And, you know, they have some family ties within the band, so we thought, might as well play them. We listened to them forever, so
that seems really very fitting. I like that a lot.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Well, looking ahead to the rest of the new year, have you guys thought about what you want to do in 2012? More recording? Are you going to try to do any touring at all?
I think right now we're really trying to focus on establishing ourselves a little more in Dayton. Like I said before, with the EP finally in hand, we're gonna just kind of gonna go from door to door and say, this is us, listen to us, can we play here, you know. Write some more stuff, definitely. We've had so much fun doing that lately. So for the near future, I think just playing more around Dayton, definitely kind of trying out every venue, and just see where that takes us. We're pretty open to anything right now. So I don't know. Do you guys have any New Year's resolutions?
New Year's band resolutions?
Just play as much as possible, yeah. I think. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe expand to, like, other cities, too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Try to get into, like, Columbus and Cincinnati.
Well, looking farther into 2012, Celia and Annie will be going to college. So depending on where they end up, hopefully we can maybe get some shows in those cities. They've both been looking at – I mean, where have you guys been looking?
I've been looking at UC and OSU mostly.
Yeah.
So UD. Around the area, which would be nice. We can stay together and then, you know, branch into those cities, hopefully.
That seems like a great opportunity right there.
I think so. I think it really will be, yeah.
It can sometimes be difficult to, keep a band together when members are off to college. But it seems like since you all be so close, that it's entirely doable and will work to your advantage.
Yeah, I hope so.
Definitely. Well, if people want to keep tabs on upcoming shows and all that good stuff, where can they find you online?
Well, we have multiple places. We have Facebook. We have a MySpace. SoundCloud is probably just for the music. But if you just type in Good English for any of those, we have a Twitter, Good English Band. So follow us. and we'll post upcoming shows, what's going on. So definitely look there.
And is the album going to be available digitally once you do the release for it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's still kind of in the works of getting everything together, but it should be, yeah. Very cool. And we'll also have hard copies. So
Very cool. Well, one last thing I want to ask you before we hear another track from the album is, tell me about who you're listening to now that you guys consider as influences. I know we talked about Green Day way back when, but
it's been a while ago. Yeah.
Who do you guys sort of look to when you're listening to things and you know, learning about styles and thinking about lyrics and things like that?
I think some major ones are Yeah Yeah Yeahs, My Morning Jacket,
Black Keys.
Listen to the Decemberists a lot. For a while, we had some kind of folkier tunes. We're listening to
Natalie Merchant,
Joan Osborne. We played a John Prine song for a while. We covered it, so we have a pretty
we're kind of all over the place.
But those mentioned are definitely our biggest ones right now.
Very cool. Well, ladies, is there anything else that people ought to know about Good English before they come out to that EP release show, tentatively January 20th, or see you at Dayton Does Dayton?
I don't think so. Nothing really. We love to meet new people, have new fans. So definitely check us out online, and we'd love to meet you. We're really friendly. Yeah.
So. Well, thank you all so much for coming
in.
I
really
appreciate
it. It's really fun.
That was Good English. Their new EP is called Take Control, and they're going to be releasing that tentatively January 20th at Canal Street Tavern. You can keep tabs on them at Facebook and all sorts of other places. We've got links up at our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Let's hear another track from that EP right now. This is called Rabbit Run, and you're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on WISO.